Some of it fast, some of it drinking and driving. And not proud stuff, obviously, but truth that I did and I had to live with. So I eventually got a harsh punishment. They were done messing around with me, and I lost it for a long time. And I got it back, and I just remember the reinstating and just feeling whole again, feeling, you know, that you weren't such a burden on the people that you love the most. And that's who got the worst of it for me was my wife and my family, and it just made things difficult. But afterwards, when I got reinstated, I didn't even have all the rights that I had in the beginning, but couldn't have been happier with dealing with that just because of getting back that license, getting reinstated. And so that's something that I was going through and thinking about, and it's tough. You know, you don't want to hang on the past and be down on yourself, but you want to learn from your past as well. And when we start looking at the scripture, I'm going to start just a little bit backing up so we get to where we're at. I think we're all aware that Jesus was crucified and he rose on the third day. And most of us are probably aware that shortly before that, before they arrested Jesus, Jesus was telling his disciples what was coming. And Peter, the genius that Peter was, he basically told Jesus, "No, I'll go with you anywhere and I'll die for you." And Jesus says to Peter, "That's a nice thought." This isn't verbatim. But, you know, he's telling him, you know, you're going to die for me, huh? He said, "Before the rooster crows in the morning, you will have denied knowing me three times." And Jesus was right. Peter did deny knowing him three times before the rooster crowed. And shortly after that third time that he said he did not know Jesus, the rooster crowed, and he instantly felt bad. And you knew that he felt bad. But he had made those decisions out of fear. And I think a lot of times we do make our decisions out of fear. And it was Jesus' plan. Jesus knew what was going to be going on with Peter. And he let that unfold, in my opinion, for a very good reason. And when Jesus rose from the dead and he revealed himself to his disciples, first he reveals himself, according to John, he reveals himself to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. And she goes and tells the disciples that Jesus, he's back. And I think some of them kind of believed her, and some of them kind of didn't. And then they were still scared. They were being persecuted, and they were in the upstairs room at a house. And Jesus was just with them, and just appeared with them. And then after he was with them a little bit, he revealed himself to them, who he was. And there was one that wasn't there, which was Thomas. And that's where we get the doubting Thomas. He made the strong statements of, I won't believe that he's risen from the dead until I can put my fingers in the nail holes and the split in his side. And so he reveals himself later on to Thomas as well, to all the disciples and Thomas. And then the third time that he reveals himself to all the disciples is right at the beginning of John 21. And basically, the disciples, they were hanging out. There were like seven of them. And Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And they're like, "Okay, we'll go fishing with you." So they head out fishing, and they have no luck. And they fished at night. So in the morning, they're heading in with zero fish. And Jesus is on the shore and has some breakfast ready for them. Has a little fire, has a little breakfast. And he asks them if they caught any fish, and they say no. And he says, "Well, throw your net over the right side of the boat." And so they do. And at this point, they didn't know who they were talking to necessarily. And they get a load of fish. They get a net so full of fish that they can't pull it in. And John says to Peter, "It's the Lord." And Peter he just couldn't even hold himself. He was working, so he'd taken his outer garment off. And it makes note that he puts that back on. He just jumps in to the sea and swims to shore to see Jesus. He couldn't wait to head in. So he gets in, and you know, they're talking, they're hanging out, they're eating breakfast. And after breakfast, he pulls Peter aside. And this is the reinstatement. And he says to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Peter replied, yes. You know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, okay, feed my lambs. Again, he says to Peter, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So he says to John, or to Peter, take care of my sheep. And the third time, he says to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And it hurt Peter's feelings because he asked him the third time. And he says, Lord, you know everything. There's nothing you don't know. You know that I love you. And, you know, I've went over this many times, and it did hurt Peter's feelings. And I don't think it was any accident that Jesus asked him the third time, because it was the third time that has significance with Peter, because he denied knowing Jesus the third time. And so I think it was important that he was sharp in that, and that Peter really saw that with being asked the third time. But it was still the same Peter that he said back in Matthew, you're going to be the rock. You're going to be the rock of my church. And I'm going to build my church upon this rock, speaking of Peter. So he knew ahead of time that this was the guy, and he knew that he was going to be making some mistakes. And I think one thing there is really important for us to really remember, as we go through and we make our mistakes, we're not making a permanent, it's not a permanency. We're not going to be able to get through this life loving and serving God without making mistakes, without sinning. That's not in our future. But I think with the way he showed that to Peter was big. And it was, you can make the biggest mistakes, and I will forgive you, and I will love you, and I will use you. And that's something I think we really need to keep track of, that sometimes we'll make a mistake, and we'll be so hard on ourselves that we become not very useful to God. And that's something I don't think that he's looking for from us. But he asks him, he tells him, actually, he gives him some commands. And then I guess we'll finish off the scripture with, he says, after he tells him to feed his sheep after the third time that he has asked him if he loved him, he says, when you were young, you dressed yourself and you walked where you wanted to go. But when you get old, someone else will dress you, and they will lead you somewhere that you do not want to go. And he told him this to indicate the type of death that Peter would have, and with what death he would glorify God. And after he tells him that, he says, follow me. Just a bold, follow me. We go back, and he's saying, the first thing he says to Peter is, feed my lambs. Who are his lambs? I believe the children are the lambs. So he's saying, feed my children. Feed them what? Just physical needs? I don't know. Maybe we pick over scripture so much and we try to make things the way we want them, but I don't see it that way. I think that he's definitely speaking that we need to physically take care of children, but I think also spiritually that we have a command from Christ to take care of the children. And that's not just a physical needs, that's growing them up and showing them who he is. The second example, he says, take care of my sheep. This, I think, is more clear. His sheep are brothers and sisters in Christ. The believers are his sheep. And he says, take care of them. So take care of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, that's very broad. It doesn't give us a command that we can just get in line with and know all the answers to. It has to come from the way we care about each other is how we are going to be led to do so. And I think that we know that that comes from God. When it comes from us, it's selfish, and it's for our own benefit, it seems to be, at least in my experiences. But when God's the center, you're looking differently. You're looking through a different lens. And then the third reference is feed my sheep. And that's the brothers and sisters in Christ as well. And I think we're right back to the feeding being definitely, if you see brothers and sisters in Christ that are starving, give them some food. But I think it speaks very strongly to the spiritual feeding as well, and just being there together as the brothers and sisters. As I think about this and I've prayed through this and just, you know, wanting to do a good job covering this, I go back and forth. Are we doing a good job of being the body of Christ together? And I think you can take a lot of things from this scripture, and I don't think that has to be the first place you go. But I think when you're down to the commands that Jesus gives, and I don't think that we should look at them as anything but commands. Personally, I take them as commands for myself as well. I don't think that this was just a word to Peter that was supposed to end with Peter. I believe that this is very much a word for us and a command on how he wants us to live and how he wants us to treat each other. So it takes me back to the brothers and sisters in Christ, and are we doing a good job being there for each other? Are we sharing our ups and our downs, and are we doing this together? And we have lots of great excuses because we're all busy. You have young children. Holy smokes. There goes your plans. But I think that we need to take some time and really think what's important and how is God telling us to live our lives. Because it seems to me that even in this scripture, which you can take a lot of things out of, I think he's speaking very, very boldly to doing life together and taking care of each other. And I think that's something, I think if we started doing that better, there will still be room for improvement. I think once we improve on that, there's always room for improvement on loving each other and taking care of each other. And then that, you know, the better shape we're in spiritually and where we're at will really give us the ability or lack thereof to be impactful for Jesus outside of these walls as well. So Peter, poor Peter, he's getting beat up pretty good. And I think we've all felt that way. And I don't know if anybody besides me here has ever known Jesus and then turned away from Jesus. But, you know, like in 2000, I came to know him and really believed that he was my Lord. And then through the politics of a church and just the changing of leadership and those different feelings and a lack of maturity spiritually on my part, I was really turned off of where I was at and how things were going. So started pretty soon we were going every other week. And then pretty soon we're going once a month. And before you know it, we had just kind of slid back and weren't going anymore. And I didn't unbelieve, you know, I didn't say away from me, Jesus, or anything like that. But with turning my back and just living a worldly life, you throw salvation out the window, and am I being beneficial for him? And I just spent a long time there where I wasn't. And I was really fortunate, the way things turned out here and just the right time. And, you know, you look back and you think about how God's timing is just impeccable. But I end up here, had family here, so there was a draw here. The Evertons had been back from Missouri just a short time, and Josie had been coming here, and it just made sense to start coming here. And it was really good for me to be able to just come back to him. And the reason that this rings so true and hits so hard is because I know what it's like to do wrong by Jesus, and to be, you know, you have shame and you have those feelings of, does he really want me back? Am I really worth anything to him? And the answer is yes, we are. We're going to stay human, and we're going to keep messing it up. But we need to really put our hearts into, first of all, him, and then each other. I think it's a really major part of our walk, our spiritual walk, is to do this life together and be there for each other. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time that we can come and just worship you and try to pick up something that you have for us and just to move forward, growing in you. We just ask for your love and your patience. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.